Hello and welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 47, a book review. On this show, I often talk about Grace. She's my guardian angel, and Knit Spirit is sponsored by Earthfare, the best place to get beaded knitting supplies on the web. Check them out at earthfare.com. As of today, I have finished my Ravalympic socks. Yay! There will be photos up on the blog, and I'm kind of excited about this because with everything that had been going on this week, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to finish or not, but they're done. They're cast off. They're kind of cute. I have a ridiculous amount of yarn left over. I didn't think I would have this much, but it feels like I still have half a skein of this stuff. I'm going to weigh it later and see how much it is. And that leaves me to knit Secret of the Stole 3, which I haven't cast on yet. I've seen the first chart. It's really cute. I haven't downloaded the second chart yet, but I'm eager to see how this one plays out. I'm going to try to catch up this week. Her designs are always, always fabulous. I love knitting her stuff. The Knit Spirit parody that I did for Myrrh Lafferty as part of her Stories of the Third Wave promotion for her novel Playing for Keeps is up. It's at http://myrrhverse.com. You could just search for it from there, but the full URL would be /2008/18/stories-of-the-third-wave-11-knit-spirit.html. I will link in the show notes. She has love lines up there as well in the same site, and I was part of that. That was a lot of fun. Go take a listen to both. They were really cool. On the more worrisome news this week, my cat Hikari took sick with a fatty liver disease. He's in the hospital right now, but he's making a really good recovery, and we expect he's going to be all right at the end of it. Prayers are always appreciated, and I think all of this trouble is caused by their food. Hikari's only 3 years old. He shouldn't be facing this. And we have had nothing but trouble since we switched them to Innova. And reading the ingredients, I personally can see why. Milk and cat food, chicken meal as opposed to real meat, I'm just not feeling it right now. We're switching them to a better food, and they're just not getting that stuff again. I don't know why it's so highly recommended. It's considered one of the best on the market, but no. Right now, Hikari is in sweet kitty mode, which means he's pretty worn out. Anybody who comes over to his cage, he'll rub against them, he'll purr, he'll lick them. This is the behavior he shows when he's really, really tired. I'll be thrilled when they start complaining about how much trouble he's causing, because that means he's feeling okay. Our company moved downtown, so I can no longer count School Products or Yarn Connection as my local yarn shop. My new LYS is Seaport Yarns, and I'm of two minds about the place. They have fabulous yarn, including the new Noro Silk Garden sock yarn. They have spindles and fiber, both from Grafton Fibers. They have a Friday afternoon knitting group. They have a beautiful, beautiful store, and it's closer than any LYS I've ever had. I'm literally a block and a half away. I'm absolutely thrilled with the convenience of it, and I'm thrilled with the store, and the owner is unique. She introduced herself to me by complaining about a variety of vendors, people that I know, and then told me cashmere should never be spun lace weight. This in answer to the question, do you have any fingering weight Angora? Cashmere, she asserts, is too weak to be usable by itself when spun fine. I've used lace cashmere many, many, many times. It's fine. She said lace merino is the bottom edge of strong enough, which makes me wonder how tightly she pulls on the yarn when she knits, and more to the point, how fast she's winding it. For the record, cashmere was traditionally spun lace weight on supported spindles in Russia. It's as easy to work with lace cashmere as it is to work with any other lace yarn, and the results are so worth it. I've been having a discussion with a friend of mine on, is Jesus the Messiah or not? And we've been going back and forth with the pretty standard arguments. I'm Jewish, so I say no. She's Catholic, so she says yes. And we're repeating the discussions that have been held for thousands of years. I assert that the easy test is, did he bring the Messianic Age? Well, one aspect of the age of the Messiah is that all war will end. From Isaiah, nations shall beat their swords into plowshares, and man will learn the art of war no more. Okay, if you can name any country with a standing army, you can prove we're not in the Messianic Age. And this is just stuff that's been bandied about and circled around and around for centuries. Midway through it all, it hit me. Nowhere in the Bible does it suggest we're supposed to worship the Messiah. Rather, the Messiah will lead people to worship God. Think of a figure like Moses, a man who can keep the distinction between the message and the messenger. And it floored me when it hit me. You don't worship the Messiah, you worship God. I'm not sure if that was just some nugget I must have heard a long time ago that finally bubbled up in my head, or if that was Grace telling me something, or I don't know, but that just, it really floored me when it sort of popped in there. Of course, Christians and Catholics are going to pop up and say, well, you've got the Trinity and worshiping Jesus really is worshiping God. And I don't understand that enough to really say one way or the other. The Trinity is one of those things that I just cannot fully comprehend. It's called a mystery. I know a lot of people have trouble really, really understanding it, and I'm just going to count myself in that camp. So, but onto this book review. I was sent an advanced reading copy of a book called AIQ, Achievement IQ, Moments by Stanley Bronstein. This is the third book in the series. All three are really very good. The first two are more focused on the reader and how to achieve more, how the reader can apply the principles to his or her own life. The third is a group of 50 mini biographies of some fascinating high achievers. And what I love about this book is how different people define achievement differently. Chapter 16 discusses Joan Sowers, I don't know how she pronounces it. She was diagnosed with cancer at 37 and the cancer metastasized. Her 5-year survival rate was as low as 5% and her 10-year survival chance was 1%. Now, she had a 2-year-old daughter, and she was determined to live long enough to raise her. Well, that was 10 years ago, and she's beaten the worst of it. Her health, as of the time of the writing, has been improving. Chapter 27 talks about James Burgett, a man who was on drugs at 14. He committed assault with a deadly weapon. By 15, he was a drug dealer. And now he's clean and he runs his own computer business, very successful. And you can find out about it at accrc.com. And so it goes, different people, different dreams. No two stories are the same. And Stanley puts himself into these stories. That's not something I see often. And it really brings these stories to life. It's less like reading dry biography material and more like sitting down to tea with some really, really interesting people. These are delightful stories, full of hope. I read through all of them in about a day. I'm going to see if I can get him on the show for an interview, because these are really people who glow with the blessing of God in their lives. I know Stanley would say that they've positioned themselves to take the opportunities given them, but it's like the Maccabees. The menorah burned for 8 days only after they lit the candle. These people reached to the limits of human potential, and God blessed their efforts. Let me read one to show you what I mean. This is chapter 8. These guys are true heroes. We live in a world in which we need to share responsibility. It's easy to say, it's not my child, not my community, not my world, not my problem. Then there are those who see the need and respond. I consider those people my heroes. Fred Rogers. Dictionary.com defines the word hero as a man of distinguished courage or ability, admired for his brave deeds and noble qualities. Ryan Jambala and Garrett Graveson, the co-founders of Hero for Children in Atlanta, Georgia, define hero as hearts everywhere reaching out for children. Hero for Children, Inc. is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the quality of life for children infected with and affected by HIV/AIDS through enrichment programs, unforgettable experiences, and connections to the community. Garrett and Ryan are two people who have chosen their own destinies rather than waiting for life and circumstances to choose it for them. They were business graduates with honors from the University of Georgia, and together, the day after graduating, they decided to start a nonprofit organization for the benefit of children. During their college years, Garrett was student body president and Ryan was president of an international nonprofit organization. Garrett did investment banking in Hong Kong. Ryan did management consulting in Italy. Garrett went to a funeral in Africa for a little boy who lost his battle with AIDS. Ryan taught an AIDS orphan in Brazil to blow bubbles for the first time. Upon returning home to the University of Georgia, Garrett and Ryan renewed their friendship and decided to start a movement that would create lasting social changes in their home state. Hero children are either HIV positive or live in the home of a family member who is HIV positive or who has passed away due to HIV/AIDS. Hero for Children has created various programs such as the Superheroes Program, the Rising Heroes Program, Hero for a Day, Fall Festival of Fun, and the Heroes Olympics. Here are two of their programs. The Superhero Program, adult community members serve as superheroes in the lives of a special boy or girl through a minimum 2-year structured mentoring relationship. Rising Heroes Program, the first curriculum-based program developed to build life skills around the emotional, social, educational, and financial challenges that HIV/AIDS creates or intensifies in the lives of children. Specifically, the program focuses on increasing the self-esteem and self-confidence of HIV-affected children and to help them develop anger management skills, leadership skills, good study habits, basic financial skills, and a host of other skills. Garrett and Ryan realized that success is more than how much money you have in your bank account. They saw an opportunity to reach out to children affected by HIV/AIDS, a niche that was not being served. They believed that HIV/AIDS in the United States is basically swept under the rug and that people only hear about the AIDS epidemic in Africa. Garrett and Ryan are on a mission to change that, and they've been quite successful. When I interviewed them, they were busy preparing for the annual fundraising event, the Golden Hero Awards Gala 2007. When I told them the story of how Daryl Bloomberg helped raise $65,000 for Habitats for Humanity by cutting off his ponytail, see Chapter 4, they laughed, looked at each other, and said, "Maybe we should offer to shave our heads. These guys are great. They're truly an inspiration to us all." And the chapter ends with just a note. You can read more about Hero for Children by visiting their website at heroforchildren.org. And yeah, definitely read that Chapter 4 story because it is really cute and beautiful. Definitely a good book. Definitely a hopeful, inspiring book. And I promise more knitting stuff next time to balance things out. But that should wrap us up for this week. Until next time, be blessed and keep knitting.